Whatever stage in life that we are, God has blessed us to get there. And we need to give him the glory. We didn't do it on our own. It was God that has blessed us to be at the point in life that we are. And so we should always remember then to give him the glory. Let us not be like a king on one occasion who got so excited and so caught up in the people after he had given a great oration or a great speech. And the people were just lauding him. They were just praising him, if you will. And they were saying that this is the voice of a God. And instead of him giving God the glory, of course, he took all of that for himself. It's inferred in the text in Acts chapter 15. As a matter of fact, let's look at that just for a moment tonight. In Acts chapter 15, verses 21 through 23. The scripture says there that for Moses of old time has in everything in the city that preached him being read in the synagogue every day. I believe that's the wrong text that I got in there. But the text says, as Acts chapter 12 is where it's really found. The six says again that Herod, this king, made this great speech. And again, the people were just so excited over the speech that he gave. And they said, this is the voice of a God. And the Bible says that God, if you will, caused him to be eaten by worms because he failed to give glory to God. Again, he got caught up in all of the praise and the honor that was given him by making this big speech. And God realized that he was taking the glory from him and placing it all on himself. And God punished him for that, punished him by death. So I would say to us then tonight that whatever station in life that we are, let's make sure that we give God the glory for it, that we don't be like King Herod. Now, he may not cause us to be eaten by worms, but certainly he will be displeased with us. And we don't want to do anything to displease God. So let's always give God the glory. And God wanted his people in old times, the Israelites, as they were marching into the Canaan land or the promised land, God wanted them to always remember who had blessed them to get there. And he wanted them again to give him the honor, to give him the glory, to recognize that they didn't do it by their own might, by their own power, but it was God that had given them and had granted them the power and the ability to get to where they were. So he said this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18. He said this through the mouth of Moses. He says, "And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and my might, or the might of mine hand, has gotten me this wealth." But then he says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day." So God says, you need to remember that I'm the one that gave you the power to get to where you are. So graduates, retirees, all of us tonight, let us always remember that it is God that has given us the power to get to where we are in life. And even getting to where we are in life, it is that position that we've gotten to, it is because of the grace of God. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse number 10, he says, "It is by the grace of God that I am that I am." So thank God for his grace in blessing us to get to wherever we are in life. So number one, always give God the glory for whatever juncture, whatever station in life that we have arrived at. Then as we continue to go through life, we need to always rely. The second letter in the word graduate, of course, is aura. Rely on God's direction. rely on God's direction. You see, we are trying to, as we go through life, we're not only just trying to go to college, graduates again, to go to college or to go to a trade school or to go into the military or to find a career. We're not only trying to do that, but more than that, we should be trying to go to heaven. And it takes God to get us to heaven, and it takes God's direction to get us to heaven. We've never been there. We don't know the way. So we need to then rely on God to direct our steps as we go through life. Remember what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, but it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So we need to rely on God to direct our steps. And he directs our steps through his word, through the scriptures. That's what the scriptures are for. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Paul talked about the inspiration of the scriptures, that they came from God. And he says, these are suitable for reproof, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, that the man of God may be exactly what God wants him to be. So I would say to us again, always rely, as we travel through life, always rely on God's direction. And when we rely on God's direction and we follow his direction, we know we are going in the right direction because his word is right. There is no error in his word. There is no lie in his word. Psalms 33 and verse 4 says, the word of the Lord is right. So give God the glory. Rely on his direction. And then as we travel through life, from time to time, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to error. And even as we realize that we are not perfect beings, that we are not sinless beings, that there is the possibility and the probability and the possibility that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to error. We're going to fall. We're going to fall short of God's expectation. So we need to be people then that will admit when we fall, admit when we error, admit when we make mistakes and when we sin in life. And you know, when we admit it and, of course, turn from those things, God is gracious again. He's merciful again. And he will forgive us. The psalmist said this in Psalm 32, verse 5 and 6. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. The psalmist says, I admitted it. I acknowledged. I confessed my shortcomings, my failure in life, my missing the mark. All of us, again, is going to miss the mark from time to time. No wonder John was inspired to say in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 89, that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He goes on to say, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we thankful tonight that God will do that? That he will indeed cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to then again give God the glory, rely upon him for our directions. And then as we travel through life, admit when we make a mistake, admit when we fail, and of course repent of that. And God will bless us with his forgiveness. Then the next letter is D. Going back again to the book of Deuteronomy, God didn't want his people to ever forget him. To ever forget him. So don't ever forget God. Listen to what he says in verse 10 and 11. He says, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Then he says, beware. Beware, he says, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments. Sometimes when we get where we think we want to be, There may be the tendency there for us to forget God who got us there. But again, we didn't get there on our own. Therefore, we need to always remember that it was God that got us there. And we need to continue to keep his commandments, that he might continue to bless us, that it might be well with us, even in the station in life that we have arrived. So don't ever forget God. Don't ever put God on the back burner. Always seek him first, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And when we seek him first, when we are faithful to him, then he will be faithful to us in blessing us, in taking care of us, in providing for us. So don't ever forget God. Then as we go on through life, we need to always unite ourselves, the letter U in the word graduate, unite ourselves with good and godly people. Now, I put good and godly because there are some good people, but they may not necessarily be godly people. So I say we need to unite ourselves with good and godly people. After all, we are reminded of what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33. Evil communications, evil associations corrupt good morals or corrupt good manners. You see, everyone who claims to be your friend, young people and older people alike, everyone who claims to be your friend may not necessarily be your friend. They may have some ulterior motives for claiming to be your friend. So we have to be careful that those that we pick for friends, those that we associate with, those that we unite with, and certainly if they are not godly, we need to make sure that we make a break, that we separate, make a break from those ungodly people. Because if we hang around them long enough, one of two things going to happen. We're going to win them, or they're going to win us. And most of the time, it's they going to win us. So we have to be very careful with the people that we associate with. Don't be afraid to be different. Somebody say, you're different. You're sticking out like a sore thumb. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to be a sore thumb, if it so comes to that. Be like Daniel. Daniel was one of those who was carried off in Babylonian captivity. But Daniel had already made up his mind that when he get there, he was not going to corrupt himself. So the book says in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel says, I'm going to be different. We need to say we're going to be different. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive thee. And verse number 18 says, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So as we travel through life, make sure that we unite ourselves with good and godly people. And then, as we continue our journey through life, graduates and retirees and all of us, we need to apply. Next letter is 8A. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. The psalmist said this in Psalms 90 and verse 10. He said, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, we fly away. 70 years, he says. That's the days of our years. The average days of our years especially when this was written. But then he says, you may have some by reason of strength. You may live on as long as God decides he wants you to live. But then he says this in verse number 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What is he saying? He's saying, here's the span of time that you are allotted. And if God is gracious, he may give you some more time. But even in the more time that he gives you, you need to apply your heart to wisdom that you might be able to do what God would have you to do so that God will bless you. And you'll be able to hear him say, of course, well done. So realize again and number your days. Realize that, as I would say to somebody, well, as I said to somebody, once you reach 70 years of age, you don't have 70 more years to live. I haven't read of anybody in this day and time living 140 years. So you know that every year after 70, your days, your steps are getting shorter and shorter. So you need to be wise about that and say that for the rest of the time that God allows me to live, I'm going to be a wise individual. And I'm going to certainly redeem this time and do what God wants me to do so I'll be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. I heard a man said one time, Brother Marshall, like this. He said he had counted up or had estimated his days left. And he said something like this. He was like in his 60s. He says, I got 1,936 days left. If everything goes on the average. I may get some more, but if everything goes on the average, I got those many days left. And he says, I don't have that much time to be worrying about when folks don't like me. I don't have that much time to be worrying about people even when they mistreat me. I need to be worried about doing the will of God. So we need to be wise individuals again to realize that we don't have a lot of time after we reach this age limit that the Bible talks about. So we need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. James said it best, or perhaps best, when he says, James chapter 4 and verse 13 through 15, he says there that our life, and I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version of that verse, or those verses, our life is brief, is just like a vapor. What is he saying? Again, we don't have that much time. So we need to be wise individuals. And as Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, we need to redeem the time because the days are certainly evil. So again, apply your heart unto wisdom. And then the next letter, almost to the end now, is T. We need to thank him continually for our blessings, because all our blessings come from him. None of us in here tonight blesses ourselves. It's God that blesses us. All our blessings come from him. Every good and every perfect gift, the Bible says, James 1:17, comes from the Father of lights. Yes, we need to thank him continually for his blessings and never take his blessings for granted. You see, God doesn't have to bless us in the way that he does. He doesn't owe us the blessings that he gives us. So don't take his blessings for granted. But again, we need to realize that God blesses us because he loves us. And we need to use our blessings to bless others. Ephesians 4 and verse 28 teaches us that very thing. And then lastly, this evening, the letter E. As we go through life and as we strive to please God, we need to endure. Endure until the end, being faithful to the Lord, even in trying times. We need to endure until the end, being faithful unto the Lord. Then Revelation 2:10 says, the devil is going to cast some of you into prison, talking to that church at Smyrna. The devil is going to place some of you in prison, and he's going to try you for 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We need to be faithful even under trying times. Paul is a great example of faithfulness under trying times. When it was almost time for him to die, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. What did you do, Paul? I kept the faith. And it was not always an easy road for Paul to keep the faith. He endured much affliction. He endured much persecution along his journey of life. But Paul says, I kept the faith. I endured to the end, being faithful to the Lord. When they beat me 3 times with 39 stripes, I kept the faith. When they put me in the deep, I kept the faith. When I was in perils of my countrymen, I kept the faith. When I was down in the dungeon, in a Philippian jail, I kept the faith. Now I'm almost ready to have Nero's sword cut my head off. But even in spite of that, I'm keeping the faith. What are you doing, Paul? I'm enduring to the end. So I say to us all again tonight, endure to the end. As we go through life, make sure we endure to the end, being faithful to the Lord. So graduates, let me say this to you, if you're here tonight, it's all right to endure to the end being a lawyer. It's all right to endure to the end being an engineer. It's all right to endure to the end being a nurse, being a school teacher, being a doctor, being whatever profession or whatever trade that you choose to follow. It's all right to endure to the end. But if you endure to the end only being that and not a faithful child of God, you're going to lose your soul. Nobody wants to lose their soul. So you need to be faithful to the Lord. You've heard me tell this story, I'm sure. Time and time again, Northwest. That was this young man who his father asked him, son, what do you want to be? He says, when I grow up, I really want to be a doctor. He says, well, that's good. But what then? He says, well, when I become a doctor, when I go to school and when I become a doctor, I hope that I'll be able to maybe just not be a doctor, but I'll be able to work in some research facility where I'll be able to come up with a specific cure for one of the dreaded diseases. The father says, son, that's good, but what then? He says, well, when I do that, and I work for a while, and this is where you retirees now, eventually I'll get to the point where I'll be able to retire. He said, well, that's good, but what then? Then I'll probably just start sailing around the world, Darrell, on a big cruise ship. He says, that's good, but what then? He says, well, by the time I get through doing all of that, I'll probably be old, and it'll be almost time for me to die. And I guess I'll then, when I die, I'll go and meet God. The father said, son, I wondered when you were going to mention God. But if you wait till you die to go to meet God, you're going to meet him. But it won't be well with your soul. What's the point? The point is to always, again, be faithful in whatever it is that you're doing. But most of all, be faithful to God. so that when you meet him in the judgment, you can hear him say, well done. If you're here then tonight, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. Hear and believe the gospel. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Then go down in the water of grave or baptism for the remission of sin. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church. And then live a faithful life unto death. A faithful life unto God. Unto death. And you'll hear him say, well done. So if you need to come tonight and be baptized for remission of your sins, would you come? You're already a member of the body of Christ, but maybe you've been pursuing this and pursuing that, and somehow you've taken your focus off of God. I hope and trust that I've said something tonight that will rein in your focus and that you'll be able to draw back your focus to where it ought to be, and that's on God. So if you need to confess of an erring way that have taken you away from God, then do that tonight. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, I want to encourage you to do that. Do it right now while we stand, while we sing.
Jesus is calling. Oh.